Let us pray. May the words of my mouth begin in my heart and be a light along life's path for these, your people. Amen. Have you ever been afraid? So afraid that you were almost paralyzed? So afraid that words stuck in your throat and you wanted to scream, but you couldn't? Pastor John Ortberg wrote a book some time back titled, If You Want to Walk on Water, You Gotta Get Out of the Boat. In it, he tells a wonderful story about a ride he and his wife once took in a hot air balloon. The balloon party consisted of the Ortbergs, the pilot, and another couple. Ortberg had always assumed that the baskets hanging below the hot air balloons were about chest high. However, the basket on this particular balloon came only up to their knees. So some of you are starting to get the idea. One good lurch would be enough to throw someone over the side of the balloon. So John Ortberg says he held on with grim determination and with white knuckles. His wife was even more afraid than he was. She doesn't like heights in the first place, so she kept a depth grip on his sides of the basket and would not look down for any reason. Some of you can probably imagine what she was feeling. About this time, Ortberg decided he would get to know the kid who was flying the balloon. So he asked the young man how he got started flying hot air balloons. He knew they were in trouble when the young man started to speak. "Dude," he said, "it's like this." Ortberg discovered that most of the time this young man had been surfing, and he'd only got into flying hot air balloons by accident. Literally, one day he was driving around his pickup truck after having too much to drink. He crashed his truck and badly injured his brother. His brother still couldn't get around too well. See, the young man said, watching hot air balloons gave his brother something to do. By the way, the young pilot added, if things get a little choppy on the way down, don't be surprised. I've never flown this particular balloon before, and I'm not sure how it's going to handle its descent. Ortberg's wife looked over at him and said, you mean to tell me we're 1,000 feet up in the air with an unemployed surfer who started flying hot air balloons because he got drunk, crashed a pickup, injured his brother, and he's never even flown this balloon before? Bring it down now. Then the wife of the other couple looked at Ortberg and spoke the only words either of them were able to utter throughout the entire flight. You're a pastor, she said. Do something religious. So Ortberg said, I did something religious. I took up an offering. Okay, it's an old joke. Still, some of us can appreciate the feeling of downright panic that these balloon passengers experienced. We've been there. Not in a hot air balloon, perhaps, but there have been times when we've really been afraid for a variety of reasons. And it comforts us to read about the disciples of Jesus as they experience what it is to be afraid too. They're not up in a hot air balloon, but their situation is just as perilous. They're in a small fishing boat on the Sea of Galilee. It's getting dark, and a storm has come up out of nowhere. The boat's a considerable distance from land. The boat's being buffeted by the waves because the wind is against it. And these experienced fishermen are becoming increasingly anxious. Even in the hands of experienced sailors, a small boat on a treacherous sea can be frightening. And the disciples are frightened. Then something extraordinary happens, something that shakes them to their core. Jesus comes out to them, walking on the water. Now they really are terrified. It's a ghost, they cry out. But Jesus says to them, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. Friends, Jesus' words are for you and for me just as they were for those disciples. Jesus says, take heart, it is I. Have no fear. Fear is our biggest enemy. The only thing we have to fear, said Franklin Roosevelt, is fear itself. And that's true. Someone has said that the opposite of faith is not doubt, but fear. Fear can limit us, it can defeat us, and it can cause us to fail. It's fear that paralyzes our lives, that causes us to shrink back from achieving our goals. It's fear that keeps us unhappy and dissatisfied with ourselves, but unable to cope with the prospect of meaningful change. It's fear that haunts our marriages, that causes us to stifle growth and fulfillment. It's fear that keeps many of us from succeeding in our work. Fear blinds us and binds us, blinds us to our possibility, and binds us to the safe, sterile lives we've always lived. Fear produces sleepless nights, as well as worry about the events over which we have no control. Author and motivational speaker Zig Ziglar, in his book, Better Than Good, tells about the 2002 Winter Olympic Games, when 16-year-old Sarah Hughes skated her way to a gold medal. Sarah stepped on the ice, says Zig, not believing she had a chance of winning any medal. So she just skated with reckless abandon, unconcerned about the live audience, the television audience, or for that matter, the judges. She just gave it all she had. That sheer abandon she exhibited expressed the total joy she was feeling at the time she turned in a spectacular performance, winning the gold. Michelle Kwan, on the other hand, skated after Sarah and was expected to win the gold. She was a true champion, beloved by skating fans all over the world, and the recipient of many medals in her career. But after Sarah Hughes' flawless performance, Michelle went out determined not to make any mistakes. Consequently, she fell and took the bronze. Zig Ziglar contends that while Sarah was focused on what to do, Michelle was focused on what to avoid doing, and it made all the difference in the world. That is what fear continually does to us. We fear failure, and the very act of fearing causes us to fail. We fear the future, and because of that fear, we sabotage opportunities that come to us. We fear sickness and pain and death, and the weight of that worry increases the chances that illness will overtake us. That is why Jesus' words are so important to us. Take heart. It is I. Have no fear. What does that mean? How can we overcome fear? Well, one way is to keep our eyes on Jesus. Remember the hilarious scene that is part of this story? Peter wants to walk out to meet Jesus. He even steps out of the boat, but he makes the same mistake that we so often make. He takes his eyes off Jesus. He looks down at the waves, and he begins to sink. I wonder how many people have made that same mistake. There's a fellow in Wayzata, Minnesota, named Bob Fisher. Bob owns a shoe repair shop. In fact, he's known as Shoe Bob. Bob tells about being invited to go camping in the winter. This was not an appealing idea to Bob. He had struggles in childhood with a phobia that one day he would freeze to death. But Bob decided to overcome his fear. He bought a pup tent, and he put it up in his backyard in the dead of winter. He was determined to get through the whole night. Remember, this was Minnesota, where a person really could freeze to death in a short time. You know how Bob got through that night? He kept his eyes on Jesus. He prayed, and he meditated on a scripture verse. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Not only did Bob make it through the night, but focusing on that verse about becoming like Christ had a profound effect on him. So Bob moved the tent to the front yard, and after checking with an outreach association, he decided to use his tent to make his community aware of the homeless. He found sponsors who would sponsor his nights in his pup tent, with the idea of raising $7,000 to buy Thanksgiving dinners for 100 families. Bob ended up raising $10,000 in donations after 14 days of sleeping in the bitter cold. So you know what Bob did? He committed to repeating this each year with focusing on raising funds for housing the needy. In 9 years, Shoe Bob has raised more than $5.5 million in donations. In a recent year, over 1,000 people joined Bob in sleeping in tents in below zero temperatures for 37 nights in order to reach a goal of $1,500,000. Now, some of us might say, crazy Minnesotans, but what a grand outcome from one man who, with God's help, confronted his fear. We can focus on our fear. We can focus on our faith. Focusing on our fear will distract us and ultimately cause us to fail. But focusing on our faith will cause us to succeed far beyond our wildest dreams if we just keep our eyes on Jesus. then move forward. That's the next step in dealing with our fears. Move forward. When we say, keep your eyes upon Jesus, we're not talking about a passive kind of experience. The Christian faith has very little to do with simply sitting and gazing and waiting and wishing. No, the Christian faith at its best is a call to adventure. It's a call to walk on the water. And make no mistake about it, when Jesus told those early disciples to fear not, he was not telling them to seek safety and security. Rather, Jesus was telling them to move forward, to always trust him. It is the person who cowers in the corner of the boat who's most likely to keep his fear of the storm. It is the person who always takes the safe and easy road who trembles most when the strong winds begin to blow. Keeping our eyes on Jesus, and do not be afraid to walk out on the water. That's the message of today's lesson from the gospel. There is one who knows our situation and who can help us through it no matter how troubling or terrifying it is. Take heart, Jesus says, it is I. Have no fear. And here is the most beautiful thing of all. As we learn to focus on Christ and to keep moving forward into the face of our fear becomes less of a problem. Why? Because we learn to trust our Heavenly Father. If our small boat is being buffeted by the wind and the waves, if we've entered a long, dark tunnel in our life situation, we simply need to listen to Jesus' words. Take heart. It is I. Have no fear. And with those words guiding our faith, we too can walk on water. Amen.